Hello, and welcome to the Real Estate Marketing Masters Mix podcast, where each episode we share actionable strategies for amping up your real estate marketing game. And now, here's your host, Dave Cole.
And we welcome you into this edition. I'm Dave Cole. We're joined, as always, by our social media whiz, Scott Winteroff. Hello, hey. Scott.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
Yeah, doing just great. We've got a lot we want to get to today. So our topic, I want to focus on some strategies for researching listings and ways to be able to work with other agents, kind of like whether they know it or not. So going to have a very fun and informative topic. First, I wanted to start out with, there was still another article in the media about this, and it's just, things happen with properties, and I just thought it's kind of worth pointing out. There is an article recently that came up in the Washington Post, I know, carried it, although this happened in it was from the Charleston, South Carolina area, where, of course, there's a lot of historical and very expensive homes. And the point of the article was about a colonial built in 1939. That's right near the Ashley River and a very sought after neighborhood. And what happened was that it was up for sale in the $1 million range. The story says there were 11 price reductions. Wow. It didn't sell. And ultimately what happened is that, they wound up tearing the property down, and the reason behind it was that, and I guess part of the reason why people weren't buying is that with the climate change and everything, that the change in the sea level, and all the rain and the weather, and of course they've had in the Charleston area with the tropical storms and all that over the last couple of years, is that there was just the fear of survival of the property. And there was the article goes on to show about a couple of studies that were done about this and how it's become a concern because of the, there's flood risk for a lot of properties, but when you have something that, that old and, in that price range, that's a concern. So it's just kind of something to just thought we'd, bring up, and there isn't really much that we can say as far as any strategies, but it's just something to keep in mind, something to watch for, as an agent, that if you do have some properties or know of where there's, the older and higher end homes that are now in for that type of threat, just to maybe be able to do some type of survey or just kind of be prepared, in the event that there's a possible sale or kind of what is the future of this property.
Or talking to them about how they might want to consider moving, right? So, people who already have homes in there.
Yeah, it may not necessarily be moving, although, that's actually something I hadn't thought of. But it's also just in terms of, I guess it's kind of an exaggerated lesson of why you're those that you've sold to or, are working with, kind of the long-term clients, of things that you might want to keep them aware. There might be a, selling at the right time type of thing. So anyway, I will... it's for anybody that wants to search it. I found it in the Washington Post, and it was sea level rise is eroding was one of the terms used. So it's probably searchable using something like that. So
we'll might be it. Worth. We'll add it to the show notes, so you can definitely just click on the show notes, and it'll pop up.
All right, good idea. There's our social media whiz coming up with that. So yeah, we will definitely include that one. I think it would be a good read. So I do want to talk about what we're calling strategies for researching listings. And there's more to it, especially with all the technology and everything available today, that it is more actually than the technology. And where I became aware of this for certain agents is actually goes back probably about 15 years or so, but I think it still holds true. And so it was before the really the onslaught or the prominence of social media. And now, and I'm sure, you know, we'll pick up on this with you, Scott, but it's even a lot more practical today than it was back then. So this was an agent on the West Coast that I worked with, and it turns out that from him talking about he was working a lot with buyers and happened to mention that there was this one agent that worked for a different office than him in an area maybe about a half hour away from where he was, so kind of like the next marketing area over, so to speak, and that within the past year that he had brought buyers to, I think it was something like 4 of her listings. So, needless to say, I asked, you know, why is it her listings? Is this some type of exclusive arrangement, or maybe she's, you know, representing a, you know, a development or a complex or something like that? And his response was absolutely not. And he went on to explain and actually show me that what he was doing is, he knew from the, I guess the first deal that they wound up working together on was kind of a coincidence that he had a buyer looking in that area for that type of property. And from what he scouted, the one that she had available, her name is Meg, Megan, she went by Meg, that she happened to have the one that looked to be the best. So in getting to, you know, talk with her and everything regarding the transaction, which went through, she was explaining to him how she was very particular about the listings that she would take, that she actually walked away from several people wanting to list with her because she would want to price it a certain way so that it would sell. There'd be maybe some, I guess I'd use the term requirements, or things where she would insist that maybe the seller do some repair work or fix up or even a cosmetic change or two to have the home be ready. So she kind of had the, I guess we'll say maybe more thorough standards for taking a listing than some other agents do. And I know everybody's, you know, kind of got that, yeah, right smile on their face as I say that, but you all know what we mean. And because of that, he just kept working with her. And so at the time, he would just basically keep track of whenever she had a listing, because he even told me, he said, I knew when she put a listing out there, it was ready to go. There weren't going to be any problems. She was good to work with. And that's what he was doing in working with his buyers. And that was something that he then actually, in working with him, I was saying, well, maybe there's some more Megs out there that do that. There obviously have to be, and kind of helped him along behind the scenes with, I don't know that I want to say a system. It's not about, you know, selling software or anything like that, but using those same strategies and looking to see, because you can do all this research online, even with, you know, Realtor.com and some of the others where you can go through sold properties. And of course, you know, your local association, the MLS, whether it's shared or not, that you can go in and do comps based on what's sold and what the price range could be. And so we kind of worked up a system so that he could be able to track in different areas, like who are the one or two agents in each of these areas that kind of have their act together, like Meg, and knew how to price a listing correctly and what to do to prepare it for a quick sale. And that's what he started doing. And in turning mainly to working with buyers, then he was able to be pretty good at finding properties for people. And that gave him good word of mouth, good referrals, because he was able to do that. And so the point in wanting to talk a little bit about this, a couple of things, is it's there's, you know, just for some kind of combined self-promotion, that's the advantage of working with a marketing person that can maybe help set those things up. But in doing so, that also allowed this guy to reduce his advertising budget that he didn't have to, or felt he didn't have to advertise as much, which I don't preach, but as much to attract buyers, because by being successful finding the right agents to work with, he was able to generate enough referrals to keep him busy at certain times of the year, I guess I will put it that way. And of course, then for kind of tracking these agents, or as I like to call it, the real estate version of stalking these agents, you had the MLS, you had the internet. But now, Scott, and this is why I want, you know, for you to comment on this, now there's social media that, and of course, we usually talk about things that our listeners, our followers can do to post and to have their campaign. But this is a little bit different, and this gives us the opportunity to talk about why it's important as to who you follow. So, Scott, I think you can definitely add a lot more on that part of it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think this sort of transcends any sort of industry, too, in some ways, where, you know, you can sort of despise your competition, or especially the ones who are that are doing as good or better than you, or you can leverage your competition and see in ways that you can creatively work together to create a positive balance. You know, obviously, I think what you were saying is that ultimately he was using her listings because he knows that every listing that she had was a good listing, right? And it was going to be an easy sell for buyers. So, and I think that that works in a lot of different ways in many aspects of life in some ways, you know, but in terms of social media monitoring or social media research, for me, it's really a balance of following people who don't know me and then also following people who are my competition. And there's a lot of ways I do that. One would be to create a private list on Twitter where only I can see who's in that list, and then use that list to follow our competition. And then I can see what they're posting and ultimately see how they are engaging on social media to see if there's something that maybe they're doing that's a little different than me or a little different than the strategy I'm pulling at the moment. And then also see what's lists, you know, you can see what listings are coming up, what content they post in that way. It's a great way to leverage social media as a research tool. And there's so many different ways you can use social media for research, but having a sort of like twofold approach, kind of what you're saying, researching and leveraging your competition is just yet another aspect of social media, especially in the real estate space.
Yeah, exactly. As far as I know, you talked about private lists and on Twitter, and I'm familiar with it, but just in case for someone maybe not familiar with it or newer to Twitter, how do they start a private list, or is there something that they can look at or some type of tutorial, or how might they at least to kind of head them in the right direction? They may not know where to look to start their private list.
Yeah, it's a good question. Basically, if you're using the regular Twitter client, like the regular, you go to twitter.com and you log into your account, whenever you go to someone's profile or someone else's profile, you'll see like a little like arrow key, like a little down arrow key that lets you sort of select more options for that particular user. And on there it says add to list. And then of course, if you don't have a list created, you would say create a new list. And then when you create the new list, it gives you a checkbox that says, you know, is this a private list? And you say, yes, this is a private list. Because that way the person who you add to the list doesn't see that you added them to a list. If you don't do a private list, they will get like a notification saying, hey, you know, Dave's added me to his list, and you wouldn't want to do that. So yeah. Or you could, it probably isn't a huge deal, but ultimately, probably for most people, they won't want to do that. So that's why I recommended a private list. And then, there's a really great, social media tool by Twitter called TweetDeck. And on TweetDeck, you can, monitor lists, like monitor tweets of people in your lists. And that's maybe for another edition or another episode, Dave. But ultimately I use TweetDeck to sort of create a monitor full of tweets, and I can go walk up to it and see what's going on in the space and take about 5 minutes just to kind of glance over everything, and not 5 minutes, 5 seconds to glance over everything and see what's going on and kind of get an idea and visual representation of what's going on in my Twitter sphere, if you will. So yeah. So hopefully that answered your question.
Yeah, sure did. And of course, any of you that have further questions, you're welcome to contact us through the site or through the podcast and ask. So we may even do one coming up where we kind of go over some of the questions and answers and that type of thing. But sticking to topic, and picking up on that point that now because of the social media and the technology, there is the ability to do more of that than there was the, you know, 10, 15 years ago when the fellow that I was working with, and we kind of developed this and it led to his success. It's also, and this is something that I know, you know, we talk about in the workshops and the more advanced things that we do, but in terms of some of you may be saying, well, you know, I don't necessarily work with buyers, or how can this help me? And that's kind of what we want to address now along those same lines, that the idea isn't that you can only do this if you're working with buyers and looking for agents that know how to list. It's the idea of using the resources currently available, especially online and social media, to be able to find, you know, as I say in the workshop, find your Meg, as Megan, find that somebody that you're able to work with. So there are examples and people that do this, and you're going to find that agent that would be perfect, a perfect fit or a perfect complement, you know, eventually, or somebody close to it. But there's also what I call the other cities approach. And this is something I always talk about, that wherever you're at, even if you don't have a specific farm area, chances are you're still working maybe within a, you know, a 20, 25 mile radius tops. There's a few exceptions, or, you know, within an hour or so, whatever the case might be for your listings. But there will be other cities or suburbs or towns or rural areas with kind of a similar climate, similar income level, just kind of a similar thing to wherever you are at. That may be 100 miles away, it may be 500 miles away, but there are similarities in the marketplace. So something that I've suggested to clients and agents, and maybe more so on the newer side, but even if you've been in the business for a long time, you could still do, is to take that similar market or similar conditions, or it could be even a housing development built by the same builder that's now building in a different city, and check around using the, you know, the sources online and the different websites and maybe social media, and kind of be able to see, hey, which agents are doing what in terms of bringing buyers or sellers, or are they selling quickly, close to the asking price? Are they getting more than the asking price in these different cities? Because then, and especially with the private list and the way things go today, these are things you could find out and maybe kind of find your Megan in a different city, even if you're not going to deal directly with her, but you can track what she does. And especially if you've been listening, you know, following our other podcasts and incorporating some of the ideas we talk about into your social media, into your marketing presentation. So if you find somebody that's, boy, you just really think has their act together compared to what you are doing, and kind of helps you to see what they're doing, you can be following them. You can be, as I say, the real estate version of stalking them, monitoring them from hundreds of miles away. And nobody in your farm area, your local area, is going to know where these ideas are coming from. So it's kind of a way to, as they say, borrow from other agents that fit in with your situation, that you can get some, you know, really great ideas by doing that. And this is something that wasn't available 10 or 15 or 20 years ago, or going back, you know, from behind. So, and of course, Scott, you can, you know, fill in that there's, of course, ways to be able to do some searches on social media and really be able to follow people in other cities or even big cities. You may want to see, hey, what are agents in New York doing, or what are agents in LA doing, or what are agents in you know, the smallest town you can think of doing, and be able to maybe have like a sectioned off list just to be able to get some ideas of how it's being approached in a different area.
Yeah, I think I'm not 100% sure how to get these reports, but I believe there's a way for people to track down sales reports, and you can see who's got the, you kind of find out who's got the highest percentage of sales in a particular region or something like that. And then obviously I would go and see, check out their online marketing campaign to see what they're doing right and or see what they're not doing. Okay. And, you know, kind of use that as a benchmark. Another thing too that I've seen with some of the agents that I work with is that they really track a lot of the emails that come in. I know they get tons of, it's like you put your name out there. So you're on, you become on everyone's email list, right? For new listings or, you know, newsletters and that kind of stuff. And I know that some of the savvier agents that I work with, they have like folders in their inboxes. I know like for example, Gmail, they have like Gmail labels and stuff like that, where they make sure those newsletters get sort of tagged when they come in with filters. And that way, you know, because you don't want to inundate yourself with newsletters and not really get anything done by because you're reading newsletters all day. But at the same time, you know, if you spend 10 minutes each week just kind of glancing through the newsletters that you got for the week, then that's a competitive research advantage you can use to kind of see what people are doing. One, how they're formatting their newsletters and what type of content they put into their newsletters. But two, also looking for listings and other non-marketing, what I would consider non-marketing things, but stuff that's just good for your business, sales kind of growth, kind of thing. So yeah, I mean, newsletters too, that, you know, there's a lot of times you end up on those lists or you, for whatever reason, you find a way to get on their lists and then, it's just great data that comes to you. So you don't have to do much research.
Yeah, exactly. And I've even along those lines know of a couple of agents where I've had the time to really kind of, you know, preach on this and go into it at length and in doing some of the workshops and things as well. Is I know of agents that are, you know, I guess we'll use the term totally into doing this and do have the people both in, within, and outside of their scope, their sphere, their marketing area, and actually will keep like a spreadsheet or some type of database or even put it in their CRM that this continuous tracking of agents, because it's not only, hey, I found, you know, Joe over here in, you know, Springfield, and boy, he's really good. Well, you might want to keep track of what Joe's doing and check on Joe's activities, whether it's once a week, once a month, once a quarter, whatever the case might be. And as, you know, as we're talking about, as you get, you know, a Joe, you know, three or four of them, so to speak, around the country or around your area, to be able to kind of keep track of what they're doing. Some of the campaigns or approaches, it might be something more seasonal. So, I mean, you know, you want to have the whole story that with just using the Joe example, they may have had this great summer where they sold three properties in over the course of July and August and been very successful, but it could be because they're kind of doing a specialty or doing like a back to school campaign, or their marketing is such that they want to be able to get people, families that want to move before school starts in late August. And that's a big time of the year for them. So you want to kind of take it into account. And if that's the case, and let's say Joe does that and makes, you know, most of his commission money for the whole year in July and August by doing that, then what is he putting out there to market in November? How early is he planting the seeds? Does he do something in February saying, hey, here's information about a new school or a school district that's gone up in the rankings or whatever it might be? In other words, what is he doing to set up that July or August or busy period? Or what do they do if they sell for new developments? Or just, you know, kind of do they do a tease? Do they just wait until the property's ready to be sold? What things are they doing? And maybe by keeping either a spreadsheet, which could be something as simple, and I still know a couple of agents using Excel spreadsheets, or is it something that you're putting into your CRM, your database? Maybe a reminder comes up that, this Sunday night when you're around, you're going to spend 5 minutes and check, you know, Joe in Milwaukee and see what he's doing. And we're just saying, quote unquote, you know, your Joe in Florida and see what he's doing or whatever the case might be, so that this is something that can be, you know, worked into a system. Or those of you more established and you have an assistant or an intern or somebody on your team, or a new agent that's come on board, this may be a good way to get them acquainted and have them kind of track. And then as you're having a team or a group or an office meeting, be able to share. So if everybody could find their Joe or find their Megan or whatever the case might be, and you have two or three people eventually doing this, you're getting a lot of information, and then you can choose the best of the best.
Right. Right. I mean, that makes great. I think that's a great point. Also too, with research, one way that I sort of automize or, automatically do some of this research is I use Gmail or Google Apps for my email. So with that, there's a lot of really great Google Chrome extensions that you can use. And one of them that I found over the years is called Discoverly for Gmail. And what happens is that every time you get a new email or a contact from someone, it actually pulls up a little dialogue to the right, and it gives me all of their links to their social profiles that are attached to their email. So, for example, it would, Dave, you email me, and on the right, I can see that, oh, here's Dave's Twitter account, here's Dave's Instagram account, so on and so forth. So as you get those emails from other agents or other people in the industry that you want to kind of do some research on them, you can use this Discoverly for Gmail to find those links easily, so you don't have to do a lot of researching. So I hope that was a really quick tip, app recommendation that will help assist you with doing some research.
Yeah, it really does. And just to pick up on that is that just in case if you were thinking, well, you know, what do I care that, you know, Joe in Florida is on LinkedIn or Facebook, or how does that help me? And I actually have an answer to that question, because just like you're doing maybe with their Twitter feed or with their marketing or even seeing what they've done in terms of buying or selling or, you know, the real estate side of it, is you can go on and check their feeds without necessarily having to be a follower or private list them and see what are they posting. Mm-hmm. Are they posting, you know, articles from the local media or TV stories or local newspapers or stories about, maybe a student that just won some kind of an award for the local high school to reinforce that they work within that school district, or kind of what do they do? Because two things can happen from doing that. One is you may find an article that they posted that would fit what you're doing. And it might be something, if it's not, you know, restricted to their area, not restricted technically, but I mean, if it's something that relates to your farm area, you could put it up and they're not going to, you know, go, oh, you stole it from a guy 300 miles away. They're not going to know that. Or you could even retweet or repost. So that's one way to do it. The other kind of fits along the line with the, you know, the first step of this, that it shows you what they are posting out, what are they doing to appeal to and grow their audience. So it is worth, or it could be worth, looking at their, what are they posting on Facebook, what do they do, or what pictures do they put on Instagram? Do they put pictures of properties, maybe like a before and after shot, or here's before we planted the garden and now look at this garden? Or is it something about what's going on in the community, or kind of what is their overall marketing approach? So what, Scott, what you were just saying, as far as being able to find these things, I just kind of wanted to point out the additional value. And yeah, you know, what we're saying, you know, it could be a lot of time spent researching and doing this, but it could also produce some very helpful results, by doing this over the long haul.
Yeah. I mean, I think any savvy business person or agent would already be doing some of this. So hopefully this is a great recap and a reminder to keep up with it. I think it's something that if you schedule in a little bit each week, you can make a lot of great strides in your overall strategy.
All right. And on that note, we're going to wrap up this edition. So appreciate it. And I say we're going to put up, watch for that link to that article we talked about at the beginning. And thank you as always, Scott. And that is it for right now.
All right, Dave. That sounds great. Listen, that's another episode of the Real Estate Marketing Masters Mix podcast with Dave Cole. Be sure to head on over to our website at davecole.com to learn more about our past episodes and to learn more about marketing for real estate in various aspects. Please subscribe to our podcast on Apple, iTunes, or Google Play, or any podcatcher service of your choice. And if you like what you're hearing and you think we've got some good ideas for you, please leave a rating on the podcast. That really helps us reach new people, and we really appreciate it. That's a wrap for this week. Bye for now.